Let me go ahead and call the meeting to order, the September 8th, 2020 meeting of the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees via Zoom. Let's start out by requesting a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. There should be a screen share up with the flag. So let's start with a moment of silence.
Hey, mister.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, very good. Let me switch the screen share out here. Back to the agenda. Okay, Joel, roll call, please.
Mark Sattler.
Here, present.
Bo Miller.
He may be muted.
Sorry, present.
And Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Thank you, Joel. Minutes. Everybody should have received the minutes from August 25th.
Yes, I did. I didn't see any anything in there that needed to be changed. If I can make a motion to accept the minutes.
Is there a second? That was David seconded?
Yep.
Okay, Joel, roll call.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, thank you, Joel.
Okay, so everybody received their financial reports. Emailed to them. Any questions before I go through the numbers? Hearing none, we have, let's see here. $597,616.92 in Star, Ohio, $82,362.47 at our checking account. We have payments 18917 through 18956. Warrant numbers, I'm sorry, and then electronic payments 942020 through 121-2020, totaling $72,298.77, and deposits since last meeting totaling $75,659.12.
Very nice to see the payments exceeding the, nice to see the receipts exceeding the payments. Is there a motion to approve the fiscal officer report?
I so move. As read.
I can second that.
Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Thank you, Joel. Next up, carry over from last time, the alternative energy revenue source. There was a question outstanding, and I went ahead and put it on the agenda, Joel, that I think that you had indicated in an email that, we get $6,600 annually from the Oregon City School District wind project.
That's what I was told.
Okay, very good.
Why did we get that, Joel? Is there any answer to that?
I'm sure it's because of the, actually, I don't know, but I would imagine it's, actually, I don't know. I won't even respond. I don't know if it has to do with being a nuisance to the township or to the community, or has it to do with probably some state bill passed a while ago. I'm not sure.
All right, I'm going to interrupt you for just a minute. Is that Chief Tony on the landline?
Yes, it is.
Okay, very good. Hang tight. I just wanted to see if that was who I thought it was, and I'll go ahead and change the name label here. Very good. Okay, Joel, back to you. So, good. We've taken care of the alternative energy. Next one up is decision on whether or not to participate in temporary federal payroll tax deferral.
Okay, so the reason I brought this up is because obviously the people understand that they can defer paying federal tax to the government, or, well, we withhold it on their check, but we can, it was provided an opportunity to save some money in the short term, though it's a deferral of their federal tax that they owe anyways. It was recommended to me that the Board of Trustees make a decision whether they are going to allow an employee to participate in that. It's optional. My understanding that the employer does not have to do that for the employee, and it actually only affects a few of our... It doesn't affect the fire department. It affects the biweekly payroll that we have and the trustees. And I don't think it's a good idea. It's just a deferral of something the employee owes anyways. I'm not sure if anybody has questions or comments on that.
I can weigh in with a comment. I would counsel against it just because there's too many unknowns. I mean, if someone were to if we were to defer and someone were to leave, then we might have difficulty, and then the deferral were not forgiven next year, then we might have difficulty in recovering the amount that was deferred and still might be owed. And if we can't recover it, then it would be on us to pay it. So at this point, I think there's a few too many questions. I would advise that we, you know, along with Joel, that we go ahead and continue to withhold payroll taxes.
And I feel the same way as you, Mark, and Joel. Don't do it.
And there, Mark, and Joel, if I'm not mistaken, if this becomes a permanent thing, then that money will be refunded, the way I understand it.
That would be my expectation. If the money's already been collected and then the federal government forgives it, well, they know who it came from. They can simply go ahead and refund it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in agreement with it.
Okay. Joel, do you need a vote on this?
Yeah, I think it would just be good that way. If it comes up as a question with an employee, we could say that we discussed it and we ruled on what we would like to do.
Okay. Well, I will go ahead and make the motion that township not participate in the temporary tax deferral at this time, that we continue to withhold payroll taxes for employees.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Joel, anything else?
Yeah, one thing that I missed putting on the agenda, it has to do with the fire department appropriations for 2020. What this is obviously we appropriated $386,850 to spend in 2020. We received money for items that we already paid out, specifically the skid unit for the brush truck, and then a donation from the Fire Department Association for the camera, thermal imaging camera. Well, I want to make sure that we replace those funds and appropriate the income that we received from the association, the Department of Natural Resources, to and put it in or spend it, because we did spend money that was intended for other projects. And we're increasing our appropriation, or I'm asking that we increase our appropriation, but essentially this is not spending the money for the brush truck itself, the $50,000 that we received. This is just those items I described, the ODNR money, and then the association money, and then the for the thermal imaging camera and the skin unit. So our current appropriation is $386,850, and we would then go to $404,162.50. So all we're doing is adding $17,312.50 and appropriating that money for this year to spend. It's coming out over there. Any questions? You guys understand what I'm trying to do here?
Joel, walk us, if you wouldn't mind, summarize that one more time, please.
So, we bought a thermal imaging camera and a skid unit. That totaled $17,312.50.
Okay.
That was money that we didn't have the income for. We spent his appropriation to pay for those items, and then the income was received in the same year for the grant of the ODNR, the association, and so I would obviously like to just replace that money that we received. So
let me make sure I understand that. So those two items were not budgeted in the appropriations. So you're going to increase the appropriations to account for them, but we also received grant monies to pay for them. So what happens is the budgeted expenditures and budgeted revenues both go up by the sum of those two, or about $17,000.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we already have the money that's already been deposited. It's just it puts us in a shortfall because those monies, it's significant, $17,000 just on a few items, the thermal imaging camera and the skid unit. So now that $50,000 gift from Alihaka, I wanted to just leave that in the bank as cash and let that sit in the fund and not appropriate it at all.
Right. Okay. So that accumulates so that in a future year when the fire department needs monies for some other big equipment, they'll have that much more available to them. Okay. Do you need a vote on that?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. So let me move that we, consistent with Joel's recommendation, we increase the appropriation for 2191.
Are you okay?
From 386,850 to Joel, it was 401.
404-162.50.
162.45. That we increase our appropriation as recommended. Is there a second?
Okay, second. Dave Bench seconded. Okay, roll call. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Very good. Okay. Joel, anything else from our fiscal officer?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. Chief Tony.
Okay.
Chief Tony, you're up for a fire department report.
Okay, good evening. I'll probably breeze through rather quickly. We just picked up a call, so.
Okay. Okay, we'll just pause for a minute until Chief gets all the information from the call that came in.
No action or anything needed at this time. I had shared with you in previous meetings that we were going to terminate our contract with emergency reporting. That's the software system that we use to report our EMS and our fire to the state of Ohio. And, in fact, I just received a new bill from them if we were going to continue, and they went up considerably on their cost. But we are opting to switch to ESO, which a group of team members have reviewed the software. It's a much better, much more conducive to our needs and everything. Chief Shea has worked very, very hard to negotiate and whittle it down to a more reasonable cost. As you know, not only the cost of the emergency reporting, but then the cost of the entry of all the reports all coincide together, which when we do this new software, we will get everyone trained and everyone will be entering, and we won't be incurring that cost. There will be an audit cost involved, but it will be nowhere near to what we've been budgeting. So with that, I am asking for permission to change over to ESO. The recurring cost, each yearly cost for this, now this includes all of our fire, all of our EMS, personnel, training, maintenance and monitoring of our equipment. So the reoccurring cost that we would be seeing on a continuous basis is $8,114, but we do have a one-time application setup fee and get us into the system of $2,380, brings a grand total of $10,494. I would like to engage in contract with them, and as I said before, we are terminating with emergency reporting. The timing works out exactly perfect for us to do this because the one contract was up, and we're engaging into that new contract. So if you could provide permission.
A couple questions, Chief. What is the termination date and the new start date?
The start date for ESO would be immediate, as soon as we sign on and sign the contract, send it back, and then there'll be a little bit of time for billing. But the termination for emergency reporting that we currently have has to be done by the end of September. October 1 is when that contract is officially up. I called emergency reporting, made a absolute positive notification that we may terminate. There's no penalties, no nothing. We don't owe them anything. We just stop. Contractual agreement with them.
So Chief, you'll be we'll be responsible for paying ESO beginning 10/1. Is that correct, or will there be an overlap?
It won't be an overlap. No, nope. We're using emergency reporting for the rest of this month. That'll take us in there. We'll be able to get ESO started by October 1st.
Very good. Excellent. And next question is, what was our budgeted emergency reporting cost in comparison to the ESO cost?
Okay, the reoccurring cost was right around $1,000. That's what it was prior. I just received in the mail today, and it went up to $3,900 and some dollars. I'm looking for that particular one. It jumped that high, and I just was informed from other departments that that it was going to jump. But the other part you had to add to it was the $6,000 that we appropriated for the entry of all of the reports. We were giving a credit of to enter in reports separately. So if you add that, we're right in comparison to where we were. The exact invoice for this year would have been just due 10-2 from emergency reporting was $3,711.05.
So it's okay.
Up considerably.
Sorry, I'm having trouble tracking. So emergency reporting, it was costing us $1,000 a month or $1,000 a year historically?
$1,000 a year. It was $1,000 a year is what we were paying, plus the entry cost of our guy, of our personnel doing it, which we only had like two people entering in reports. Paul Jones and Yasmin Fouts were the only two entering in reports. Because the system was confusing and cumbersome, I struggled to get anybody else to doing it. I attempted at it a couple times myself. And it was a struggle, but
that was historically that cost us about $7,000 a year for emergency reporting, and you're saying it's going to go up, so that cost would go up to just about $10,000 a year.
The reoccurring cost will be $8,114. That's the reoccurring cost after the initial setup and everything and the training that they have to provide.
I'm sorry. I'm still on. I'm not to the new one yet. I'm still trying to understand the historic cost of emergency reporting.
Was right around $1,000 for the use of the software.
Let me make sure I understand. So $1,000 a year for the software, $6,000 for the data entry cost, that's $7,000, and the price is going up by almost $3,000. So that would take us to an expected annual cost of $10,000.
Correct.
Okay. In the future.
I don't want to mislead you. When we do switch to the ESO, we will have some auditing cost that has to go in because we have to audit the reports, but it will be nothing to the labor intents that we were doing before on the entry of it.
Okay, so the ESO cost will be $8,114 each year.
Right.
$2,308 setup, so the first year cost will be about $10,500 round.
Correct.
Plus, you're going to have some auditing costs.
That's correct.
So that's a hair more than what our costs would be on the emergency reporting side. What about data entry costs with ESO? Do they do all of that for us?
We have to do the data entry, and then it uploads into their software. They then send it on to the state. Both the fire marshal side and the EMS side of the state.
Who's going to do the data entry for ESO? Because it was costing you $6,000 in staff labor to do the data entry for emergency reporting.
Correct. We will eliminate that because we will be doing it on our computer while we're on the run. So we will not award a credit for entering of data, because we will be entering it while we're on the run. The entering of the data always came in after the run, so someone would have to stay over and do that data entry, which, depending on the run, some of them could take some of them could take anywhere from 15 minutes up to an hour to enter in all the data. When you filter through all of the they didn't have drop downs that you could select and pick. You had to go to every little thing. So if, say, there was an advanced life support and there was meds and drugs administered, and or the patient had meds and drugs, you would have to look those up individually and enter in each one of those. In the ESO, everything's in drop down. So you just click and point, click and point, click and point.
To summarize then, for the first year, because you've got setup costs with ESO, the cost for ESO for the next 12 months will be roughly just about the same as what
right.
the future costs would have been with emergency reporting. And then beginning with year two, we'll see a couple $1,000 savings over what emergency reporting costs would have been.
That's what I'm coming up with, Mark. Sitting here doing the math.
Yeah.
It looks like you're going to, after he does this, after the second year, he'll be saving about $1,000 a year.
Okay.
Going through it. Because
right.
he's saying it was $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
Plus $6,000, so that takes you to $7,000.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And then this year it's going up $3,000, so that'll be $9,000. And then next year we'll be at $88,114, so it's going to be about $1,000 a year savings. As long as we're not seeing the guy's credit runs, so if it's going to be part of their job while they're on the run, then we'll be saving the money the way I understand it.
Right. That's the way I'm seeing it too. Okay.
That's where we're going to save the money.
Okay. Okay. Joel, is that making sense to you?
Yes, it does. As long as that, I guess, I don't know what the auditing costs are. I mean, is that something they told us? Is that $1,000 or $500 a year? What's that look like?
The auditing cost is hours for reviewing before they finally go up. Whereas before, like, the only two you saw mainly was Paul Jones and Yasmin. Probably only either Melissa Aminette or Chuck Flack or Paul Jones may have a little bit of time and reviewing them before they go final up.
But Tony, Chief,
that's looking at if there's 30 calls in the month, they're looking at all 30 calls.
Chief, would you
have to be about an hour?
An hour for the whole month review?
Yes.
Okay, so that cost is going to be well less than $1,000 for the whole year for auditing. Because you're only estimating an hour a month.
That's correct.
Very good. Okay.
Good. You guys were having me track that and keep track of what we were expending, and we did do that. Mike Shea has that in his spreadsheets for our payroll. So.
Okay. All right. That helps me understand it better, and that answers my questions. Do you need a vote on that, Chief?
I do, only because it's, one, we're changing the software, and it's well above my authorization to do. That's the way I felt about it.
The only question I have is for Joel. Are we good to spend that extra money this year, Joel?
Well, that's where the appropriation came in. I mean, it's going to be, we had a very expensive year, so the only other concern I have is, what other costs do we have that we need to know about? Because I don't think we're going to see anything from billing until the future, you know.
So you're comfortable with that then? I mean, if we go ahead and do this?
I mean, if there's the savings will be in the future. As long as, I mean, I don't control any of the who does auditing and how much, you know, time is spent for that. But if there's a savings, and I support it, of course, I just want to make sure that it doesn't become, auditing costs don't become, you know, significant, and then we just have a change of software is all we're talking about then, you know.
Okay. Well, if I may speak, and I'm not trying to confuse you or anyone, we had terminated our contractual agreement with G-Tech. Those were the computers that were in the vehicles. That was a reoccurring cost of $10,000. That was just for the equipment. And so we've terminated that. We are going to utilize, I have a tablet from the state that was given to us. We're going to utilize that as one. And then we may be buying a few other computers. But that's nothing of like what we were paying, that $10,000 reoccurring cost. So that cost won't come into play anymore.
So, Chief, you're saying that from those portables that we're not going to be experiencing.
Correct.
And that will help. That will more than offset the cost increase here from emergency reporting, which you're now rolling that over to ESO instead. But it's still a cost increase over history, so you're saying that cost reduction will more than offset the cost increase.
That's correct. So that's right. You know, I'm trying to look at everything and where our value is, and so by getting rid of the GTEC and that continuous yearly cost, that goes away. And I still feel that our ESO is comparable in cost to the we're gonna see a savings on that one. I know we are, because I'll have everybody entering reports, not just one or two people, and we won't be paying that extra fee or extra labor cost.
Very good. Okay. All right.
You need to make a. I'll make a motion on it.
Very good. Thanks, Bill.
Okay. So I move to switch the fire department reporting to ESO for $8,114 a year, plus the additional $2,380 application fee. I think that all you need.
What's the total, Bo?
I think it was $10,494.
That is correct, sir.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I have a couple more things.
Okay.
I've gotten a couple applications. I have a Zach Vargo, but I'd like my officers to have an interview with this person. This person has not been a firefighter or EMT yet. And the other one I have is I have a Bradley Donald Fisher. He's probably in his early 40s. Not that age means anything, but he is a firefighter, EMT, still certified. Everything's I've seen his certs. He, although lived outside of our jurisdictional area, further up into Oregon, further than our radius, but we have no money to invest in him as far as training costs. He would like to join us. He was originally a Lake Township firefighter EMT, and his current job is he works for Capital City Crane. He's the safety director for that branch over on Corduroy Road. But again, I've spoken with him. I consulted with my officers, and they were in support of hiring him. A couple of the guys knew who he was anyways, but I clearly explained, and I would put it in a written explanation, and he would sign and agree that even responding from that distance, he's willing to, help us out and provide service, but he would not be coming in any excessive speed until he gets into our jurisdiction. So that's what I have, is this Brad Fisher, again, firefighter EMT, but he does live outside of our zone that we have.
Chief, how far out of our circle?
We had originally adopted about 7.5 miles because of our jurisdiction from the fire station to the Guy Marsh, which is still Lucas County, which is our jurisdiction. And that was not traveling on Route 2. That was a straight line over to that area. We're 7 miles from that area. That's just a number to come up with to try and work it. So we are using Paul Mullen, He's just slightly over our measurement, but Paul has made numerous calls and been hugely beneficial. He's also an instructor that helps us for our fire training. So I think if we go for it, I don't think it's no harm, no foul. I think it could be beneficial. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I thought maybe I lost you. But I you know, I fully understand. He's a bit further up into Oregon. Oh. If you want to think about it and get back to me, we can talk about it the next meeting. I'm fine with that. It's nothing we have to, I don't have to have this tonight.
Chief, just exactly how much further out is he than our circle? I may not have caught that.
I kept waiting for you to ask me that question. I think he's 8.5 miles from us.
So he's about a mile outside of our circle.
That's correct.
Where is he at? You know, so we know that, you know, sometimes it's easier to get here.
Yeah, I will tell you. He's at 3207 East Moreland Drive, Oregon. So he's up behind Kroger.
Okay.
We are 9 miles. Our station is 9 miles from here to St. Charles.
Yep. Okay. Oh, and Tony, I did have that one given to me, that Gregory Clark, I believe. He's going over.
Yeah, I've got his application. He is 18, but he's not a graduate. He's not a graduate from high school, so I can't even consider him yet.
I think we talked about him once before.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I guess my opinion on it is, Chief, coming from the fire department side of things in the past, that is a pretty good stretch to come to the fire department for. But not having to pay for any training is a big bonus. I mean, that's a bonus, in my opinion.
Quickly, Bo, I was shocked. I'm just being absolutely honest. I was shocked that my officers felt the same way. Listen, we're not spending any money in training. He's already trained. He's an experienced guy. So if we can get the benefit of his service here and there, it's what we will take. That was surprised.
Okay.
That's how I feel, Tony. It's kind of a win-win situation. If we only get him a few times and he helps out, that's great.
All right, I can go along with your position, gentlemen. Do you need a vote on this?
I do, because it's an employment. We're adding another employee to the department.
Okay. Bo, do you want to initiate the motion?
Yeah, what did you say his name was? Brad Fisher?
Brad Fisher, yes.
Okay. So I move to hire Brad Fisher pending a physical background drug test. All comes back clean. I think that's all three of them, right? We do? Yeah.
Yes, sir, it is. You got it correct.
Yep. And I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. Just make sure, Tony, I get that paperwork, because I'm still missing Amber's as well. So.
Oh, I have hers right on my desk, Joel.
Cool.
I apologize.
That's right.
On my desk here.
Thank you.
Hey, Chief. Chief, this is Bo. One thing I would like to add is I would be a little more cautious on a vote if they are not already firefighter EMTs coming from that bar.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely.
Just because, you know, we're going to invest all that money, and
the chances of them seeing are probably pretty slim, but since they've already got it, I mean, that's just my personal opinion on it.
I agree with you, sir. I'm with you on that. Yes.
Okay. All right. Tony, other items?
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, this is all good. The brush truck has been labeled and badged. It looks really nice. Vision Quest did a very nice job, and I'm very pleased with that. We just have the team is beginning to transfer tools, and we'll be putting that truck into service here shortly. I'll just real brief on this one. I would like to do a press release of the new piece of equipment to the township, and I'm inviting the trustees to be a part of it. As part of it, the truck does recognize donation from it's labeled right on the truck, paid for by funds from the Robert Ollie Haka and then the Jerusalem Township Association, because the association assisted on the skid unit. Also, the DNR for the skid unit, we're waiting for a sticker that has to be attached to the skid unit itself. And so their recognition will be on by them, by their sticker that we have to put on there. But all I'm looking for is a yes or no to go ahead and do this, get ready to do this public release in front on this, and I'm inviting the trustees to take part of it. On the Robert Haka estate, just a reminder that there was also donations towards the township residents to receive plants and stuff too. So again, his estate has provided a lot of generosity to our township, and but you know, I don't off the truck, giving a little bit of thank you for that, and thank you for the association. We want the residents to know that, you know, the money that the association makes, you know, gets turned right back around and put back to the fire department. So that's what we do.
Chief, I think it's a wonderful idea to recognize the various sources a member of the community sets aside monies as part of their will to benefit the township services infrastructure, and also when the Firefighters Association makes monies available to reinvest in services for the community. I think that's wonderful. I think that's a great positive news story, and I absolutely agree. I think it makes sense to draw attention to the many good things that various people and various groups are doing in the community.
Well, good. Like I said, I'm gonna first contact our press. I'm gonna contact the Blade. I want to contact those two groups first to see what kind of works best for hitting their publications, and if they want to, and then next I will be contacting our local news teams, 11, 13, and 12, or 24, whatever we are. I don't know.
Very good. Okay.
It's at 12 on my TV. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, Chief Tony, other items for your fire department report?
We continue to move forward with Acumen. I was in conversations with them. They're anxious to begin our training. Everything is beginning to fall in place, but we had a run earlier, and I had to bail out of that conversation. But I'm working with them on moving forward.
Well, it looks like you and Joel have been very busy and have gotten a lot of information gathered and submitted to Acumen. So thank you to both of you.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. He's a huge help. So I appreciate his service. Other than that, I'm going to let it go for now. I know I spoke quite lengthy, so I believe I everything for the fire department.
Chief, you have one more item. I think we need to approve Arbor Professional Services as a collection agency.
Right. Yeah, that coincides with the Acumed. Yes. Would you please go ahead and present it, because you say it better than I do.
Joel. I'm assuming you need a motion and a vote on this.
Yeah. So just a quick background. Acumed suggests that we use Arbor Professional Solutions as the non-resident billing collection agency for EMS billable services. And it would probably be, it's not required by Acumed, but we should, as the board, acknowledge that we are going to go in agreement with a collection agency for non-resident billable EMS service. And just so everybody's on the same page in case in the future it comes up, of course. Hope it doesn't.
Agreed. I still move that we, the board, approve Arbor Professional Solutions as the collection agency for the non-resident transports if agency is needed.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
A motion carried.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And on to the Recreation Department. Mike.
Okay, hello. I do have a few things, but I'll be quick here. Programming-wise, football and flag football are back, so that is starting, and it's already practicing, and games are happening real soon. So happy to have football back. The numbers are not as quite as high as they have been in the past, but it's back, so that's good. So flag football, tackle football, soccer, and cheerleading all going on, which is fantastic. Moving on to the fields. That season is over. I will have some travel teams that will use the fields for practices, so I will keep up on that for another month or so. The storage container is totally empty except for that tiling that goes on top of the fences. I do not know where to put that. So any suggestions? It's bulky. It's not heavy. It's just takes up a lot of space. That is the only thing in there. I'm done with it. I just need to figure out where to put that. So if anybody has a suggestion, I'd be open to that. I did send Mark a draft for lack of a better term, help wanted for a rec board member. Well, you can see up on the screen. That's what we came up with. Any recommendations or additions, I will add whatever you suggest.
Mike, are you going to pass these out over to Jerusalem or something? Or
I was going to have whoever does the Facebook put it on there, and if we can put it on the website, and I could pass them out to a few potential parents. I'm thinking about putting them in the Jerusalem office. I'll give Mary Jo a dozen or so, and I'm going to talk to that phys ed teacher and see if he has any recommendations.
There you go, yeah.
Mike, I can have our webmaster put that on our website, and okay. Then I'll also push that link out via Facebook to Talk of Jerusalem Township. And do you want me to push it out to Buzz on the Bay as well?
Yeah, the more the better, I think. Okay. That'd be good.
Okay. I will do that.
what I did with the members is I just slid everybody to December, how I mentioned last time. So the ones that were expired, they'll just expire in December. So that should give us hopefully one or two new ones in January, I'm hoping, and then we should be good.
And so, okay, and then you've got your name, title, and your cell phone number for people
yes.
to call. Very good.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
Yep, looks good, Mike.
Good.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Mike. That looks very nice.
Okay, good. Thank you. I have one more thing that actually was brought up to me that was on Facebook. Somebody mentioned Rialto Park that it needed to be mulched, and it was unkept. I drove by it. I think it looks – it was mowed. It was weed-whacked. It looked fine. I can put a note in my pad to – if we wanted to mulch that in the spring, we can get that done. I mean, I didn't know what you guys felt about that.
I definitely think it needed mulch, Mark, or Mike, when we were putting that sign up there. And I think we talked about doing it this spring in 2020 and never got around to it.
I think we did, too. But I think with everything going on, everything kind of... So, I mean, we can do it, you know, now, or we can just wait till the spring.
I would personally wait till the spring now.
Wait till spring. Okay. I'll just make a note, and I'll revisit it in March or April.
Because I think we were going to have Kevin go down and dig out a little bit down there underneath the swings.
Yeah, I think I remember that. So, okay, I got it noted. So we'll just address that in the spring.
Okay, all right, very good. Anything else, Mike?
That's all I have.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
And let's see, next on the agenda... It looks like Linda has not been able to join us, so we'll just table all of the zoning inspector report. So on to maintenance department. Kevin.
Sure, Kevin.
You tell everybody ahead of me. I'll start out with the short part of it, I guess. Cemetery, we've had one full burial and one cremation since the last meeting. I do have one cremation unscheduled at this point. Betty Whitty passed away. The funeral homes contacted me, but they have not set a date yet because she will be cremated. So they're waiting on the remains to set up that date yet. That's all I got for cemetery. No, it isn't. I'm still working on the plans to get those out to the contractors. I have two contractors right now interested in the plans. Changing a few things in the scope of work as far as tile and sizes that the county had put in there. My belief is for our catch basins that'll be in the driveway, the county had those for 12 inch, and we're going to lower those down to 8 inch because we just don't have that kind of water that we're ever going to need 12 inch at that point that I can see, because we have tile to both sides of the driveway. So it'll basically just cover the driveway, and they'll be used to pump out, like if we get a grave that would fill full of water, we would pump the water into those to get rid of it instead on the ground. So, but hopefully yet this week I can get those out to the couple contractors we got. And moving on to roads, we did get the F-550 back. It's working good. He's replaced three sensors on the truck and got the exhaust finally cleared out on it. So the only thing he came up with is the dust fluid in it was definitely an issue. It goes stale, I guess, from what he was saying, from excessive heat. So that's changed out, and we went to a different kind of depth fluid that we're presently using. So just in case that was an issue, is the brand we were using at the time. The generator update, I got the radiator out of it today, finally. I took it down to City Auto Radiator. and they will be, he told me tomorrow he'd have me an estimate on what the cost of the radiator will be, but it sounded like he'd be able to get on it pretty quick as long as he could get all the parts. So I'm hoping in the next week or two we can have that reassembled. But I also have T. Diesel, who has serviced that generator before. They're going to do some other work on it. They're going to finish replacing the rest of the hoses he didn't do the last time. Now the radiator's out of it, new belts, and there's some work on the injector pump because it's leaking some fuel out of the throttle spool on the injector pump. So we will encumber a bill from them. And like I said, the radiator's sort of up in the air at this point. We need one, so I told him to call me with the estimate, but I don't see any other place to get one, so whatever the price is, I'm going to have him go ahead and do it. T. Diesel, I did have evaluate the generator after we talked about looking into a new one. His recommendation is with the hours that are is presently on that generator and his knowledge of it from working on it, he would not get rid of it because, like he said, this one's all built in the United States, and when it was built heavy. He doesn't see having any major issues with the engine in it, but we did look into a price of a 100 kW generator, and we are looking at $50,000 just at 100 kW, and that was not running natural gas to it or any hookup or anything for it yet. So that's just a price to think on if we want to budget something farther out, but he recommended no, just keep running that generator. So any questions on the generator at all?
So Kevin, you expect to have that radiator back in service and the generator operating again in about how long?
Hopefully in the next 2 weeks, as long as there is no big issue with parts for the radiator, which he didn't believe he would have a problem with, or we don't run into a problem with the throttle body on the injector pump, but we're not going to tear the injector pump out until we are sure that parts are available and he's got the parts before we tear it out. It's leaking, but not bad enough that we need to really worry about it a lot right now. So that's sort of sitting until we make sure on the parts yet. But it should be up and running, I'm assuming, without issues on the radiator within the next couple weeks.
Okay. All right. Good. Everybody okay with Kevin's recommendation of continuing to use the existing generator?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Agreed.
Yeah, because it's only got 1,288 original hours on it from what I can tell from the hour meter, so it doesn't get much runtime. So we do have a tree that I'm waiting for an estimate back from Lake Erie Tree Service to take down. There's a white maple at the corner of Rialdo and Corduroy. We'd looked at this almost probably about 3-4 years ago and talked about taking it out. We never did. Now that tree is 3/4 dead, and the property owner brought it to my attention here a week ago, and I went and looked at it today. So I'm waiting on them to give me a price, which I'm imagining it's going to be $400 to $500 to take the tree out. So I'm most probably going to have Lake Erie Tree take the tree out of there, and that way we don't have to worry about it ending up falling on the road or anything else. So going to have them take that out. And I also went out and got a couple estimates on the roads we just did with all the tar and chip, basically from Howard Road to Rialdo Road. I got two prices on having tree companies go down through there and clear all the limbs back from the edge of the road and up, say, 20 foot high above the road off. And I got a estimate for doing that from Lake Erie Tree, which was $2,500, and I got a one from the service that's over there. The name slips me right now, and I don't have the estimate in front of me. For the one at Corduroy and North Curtis there, the tree service is in there. And they must have both been looking at two completely different things, but his estimate was $20,000 and Lake Erie Trees was $2,500. Oh. So at this point, I would like to go with Lake Erie Tree, but I want to look at my budget a little bit more, which I know I got extra money in there to be able to do that, and that's pretty cheap. But I'm going to also meet with Jim from Lake Erie Tree and see exactly what he's looking at taking down to make sure we're talking apples to apples. But for that price, me and Eric couldn't do it for that price. By the time he even went and rented a bucket truck to even be able to do it, there's no way we'd be able to do that. But that'll open the roads up and keep all the limbs from the edge of the road, and also during storms, it'll keep all that stuff from falling on the road. So I'd like permission to not exceed, let's say, $3,000 for clearing up brush and limbs overhanging the roads in that section.
Is there a motion to approve the request?
I so moved.
I can second that.
Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Anything else?
Okay. Just one quick thing, and I'm done. The John Deere that runs the pump, the hydraulic cylinder is still out for the three-point hitch. I'm waiting to hear back from him. He was trying to get parts through John Deere, and he hasn't been able to get the seal that he needs yet. If we have to, I can disconnect the three-point if we would have to run that pump and just splice them together so they flowed. But right now, that's still down yet. I hope yet this week I'll hear from him and get the cylinder back. But that's it, other than to let you know that next week I'm going to be on vacation next week. I'll be about an hour and a half away if I'm really needed, but otherwise I'll be gone next week, Monday afternoon.
No.
I second that, Dave.
Sorry, you're breaking up.
I just said, Kevin, what's new?
So, all right, that's all I got. Unless you guys got something else for me.
Very good. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks,
buddy.
Let's see. Trustee reports. Cemetery. Kevin is continuing. Kevin, just a quick question. You have got the scope of work. You've gone ahead and started to share that scope of work.
Well, that's where I have to make a couple changes on for the tile sizes.
Okay.
And he also had on that estimate for the contractor to do all the planting of the grass, mulching, and stuff like that. We're not going to get into that this year, so I want to eliminate that out of the scope of work.
Right.
And also the fill for the driveway was on there. It's got to come off.
Okay. All right. So you got a few edits to make before you then send that around. Okay. All right, very good. Do you think that will go out after you get back from vacation?
I'm hoping to get it out before I leave this week, or at least have them ready for them to pick up.
Very good. Okay. Excellent. All right, Bo, anything on hall rentals?
Yeah, I've been getting calls questioning whether we're renting it or not, and told them that, right now, the month of September, we're not. But I think this will be okay. I want to run it by you guys. I don't think we necessarily need a motion for it, but I just wanted to double check with you guys. Miss Andrea Coughlin, Dave knows her real well, runs the Girl Scout troop. Actually, she does two of them out of Jerusalem there. Reached out to me to see if they were able to use the hall. She only has like 6 kids in one group and like 4 in another. She said that they are practicing the social distancing. They're wearing their masks. I said, let me talk to the other members. She usually uses the hall all the time. She's one of the regular scout groups.
Good girl.
And, what's that, Dave?
Good girl.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted to see if there's any objection to letting them use the hall. They will be the small groups under 10 people for the governor. If everybody's good with that, I will let her know that she is free to go ahead and do her.
I think that's a reasonable request, and okay. And yeah, she's complying with masking and distancing. Yep. That's wonderful.
Okay, perfect.
I think so too. I totally agree.
Yep. Other than that, nothing else on the hall to report at this time. Other than, yeah, I've had a few calls, and you know, they're going to reach back out to me at the end of this month. Because they were looking like November, you know, late October and November dates, and they said, well, we don't know where we're at yet. So,
okay.
We're going to reach out after the next couple of weeks.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Dave, any updates on roads and bridges?
Yeah, I talked to the county engineer, Mike, and Kevin and I were talking about the Cedar Point Road, and I asked him if we could clean them, the ditch along there, because it's dry now. They're always coming in. When it's wet, they don't know how they're digging from a driveway to driveway, and so he was going to put it on the list. Maybe, you know, you never know. They say they might do something, they might not. But, so I mentioned that because that would really help their run to slow a little bit. So that's about all I do in roads and bridges.
Okay. All right. Thanks. All right, old business. Dave, any updates on ditch petitions?
Yeah, I talked to Mike again about that, too, and he says basically nothing's been done, you know, with the petitions we turned in already, so I wasn't too worried about getting these doing. I finally slowed down. August is terrible, but I'll probably get them in at the end of the month here to him, and I guess it just doesn't make much difference. They haven't did much. And I also called today. I called up the Ottawa County engineer to see, because they have quite a bit to do with the one, so he didn't call me back, though, so I'll probably get a call tomorrow or the next day about that. So. Okay. That's it.
Okay, great, thanks. Anything on the township roof leak?
Yeah, I really started on that today, even so we might have to have a special meeting so I can get that done or something in the next, maybe the end of next week or something, before the next meeting, so we get this started. So I should have something. I got the one bid, and I got to work. Give the other fellow the kind of the bid, write it out, so I can compare them, you know, to make sure they're about the same, and so we have the price that's halfway decent. That's really hard to get bids to come together and be the same. I tell you, it's almost impossible. So, yeah, we're working on it real hard now.
Okay, great. Any other old business? Hearing none. New business. Bo, the site visit arrangements for the John T. Kennedy Park?
Yes, I did get the contact information. I did send out an email to the gentleman down there at the in Granville, which is just northeast of Columbus, if anybody was curious where Granville is at. I have not heard anything back, so I'm hoping by the next meeting I'll have us I'm hoping to get us about 4 to 6 different dates that we could kind of pick from.
Okay. Great. Sounds good.
Hopefully next meeting I'll have some dates for us.
Okay. Also on that Kennedy Park, Kevin, you still on?
No, I see him out there.
Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, David.
Kevin, what are you doing with that sign there at the Kennedy Park?
Getting clear images. The one over in Elmore, whatever the one is in Elmore. Vision.
Okay.
I've got to find the picture so they can reproduce it.
Okay.
Kevin, does the fire department wouldn't happen to have that picture, would they?
It's on the website.
Yeah, that's where we're going. That's where we're looking at it for, and that way I can get a clearer picture, and that way you can transpose it into the sign.
Okay.
Yeah, Tony, you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah, Tony, I was wondering, you know, that it looks pretty shabby over there. If we ever get the sign back up, I would think the fire department should maybe tear them trees out and do something over there, you know, so the sign goes back, you know, it looks decent there. It looks terrible there. I've had some comments on that.
I agree. We need to do something to improve that, to make that image look much better. We not only have some monies that we had gotten, but the fire department has other monies in the memorial account for that.
Okay. And also curious too, you know, if you got somebody that doesn't have anything to do, could we get that hill maybe weed whacked and where the house was? You know, it looks pretty shabby. I go by there every day and I'm kind of disgusted with it over there. So, you know, you
can yeah, show get a little bit of up.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Next, Howard Farms Metro Park Phase 2 plans. The Phase 2 plans have been out on the website. I pushed the link out some weeks back via social media. The Metro Parks are ready to meet with us. That meeting, they're bringing someone in from Ducks Unlimited from out of town. So that meeting will occur tomorrow morning at 9:30. We're going to begin in the Howard Marsh Metro Park parking lot. And then we'll tour what phase two is going to be and we'll have a chance to ask questions. That meeting is going to be outside. It is a public meeting. We have put the information out on the marquee and at a couple of business locations. So anyway, so that'll be happening tomorrow morning. Any other new business? All right. Hearing none, let me ask, is there any public participation? Second request, is there any public participation? And third time, is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I'll second it. He beat me to it tonight.
All right, Joel?
Mark Zeller.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned at 8:12 p.m. And our next meeting will be 2 weeks from today. See 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 2 weeks.